listening to the Countryside Anywhere podcast. For more information about Countryside Church, including gathering times and location, check out teamcountryside.com. Today's message comes from Pastor James Williams.
Anybody have a birthday this week? Is there any birthdays? I see like an adult. Adults are like, no, don't tell them it's my birthday. Please don't. I see a finger pointing. Oh, here we go. All right, we've got a birthday back there. Okay, so here's the deal. Like, when you're a kid, it's birthday. When you're an adult, you don't want anybody to know, but it's birth week, right? You're like, celebrate me for an entire week, but don't tell anybody that it's my birthday, please. Like, let's be real. That's what happens. I talked to one guy. His wife, he said, my wife actually celebrates an entire month of birthday. And I'm like, yes, that is the way to do it. February's my birthday month. I would love that. Anyway, you know how birthdays go. You gather around, you get around the cake, and you put the candles in, and you light them up. And what do they sing? They sing happy birthday. But then what do they say? Remember what they said to you when you were younger? Before you blew them out, what do? Make a wish. You make a wish. Isn't that the best? And so I was thinking about this today, or this last week, and I'm like, I wonder, because it was. There were some birthdays close to me, like my stepbrother's birthday was this week, and I was like, I wonder what people wish for when it comes to birthdays, or anything at all. And so I started asking some people. I said, what are you wishing for these days? And of course, like, one of the top ones from my friends and family ended up being money. Like, of course, like, more money, and money can help a lot of people. You know, you can help a lot of people with your money. You can be generous. Money creates, you know, that margin that we need in our lives to be comfortable so that we can help others, do more for others. So it's not a bad thing. But let's be real. Money can't buy you happiness, right? And according to the Beatles, money can't buy you love, right? Or if you're like me and you remember a Patrick Dempsey movie, definitely can't buy you love. Got to buy you a telescope. Anybody? No? Okay. So it's not the best wish, McDreamy, okay? I get that. Some people said, well, I would wish for better looks, like for my body or something change on my face. Some wished for happiness or for better health. I think we can get behind that. And then you got these jokers. You know who these guys are. Well, I just wish for more wishes. No. Haven't you seen Aladdin? That's not how this works. That is not how this works. You can't, that's illegal. You can't do that. Well, that's what I would wish for. Well, you would lose then. I don't know what to say. And then I hang up on them. Very rude on the phone to people, my loved ones. But anyway, you can wish for anything. And let's be real though, many of us would also wish for peace. Many of us would wish for peace. Peace for our family, peace for us, peace in the world. You know, sometimes we say peace and it just rolls off the tongue, peace in the Middle East, right? That old saying. And what's interesting is when Jesus would talk to people, he would talk to people and greet them, you know, in coming or in going. The tradition was to say, peace be with you, right? Or after something would happen, even something traumatic, he'd say, now go in peace. When you think about the Apostle Paul, who had an encounter with Jesus after years of running from him, after years of doing some horrible things against followers of Jesus, he often wrote in the opening of some of his letters, grace and peace. Grace and peace be with you is what he would say. And so I love the fact that grace and peace, they just go with each other, like peanut butter and jelly, or Ross and Rachel, or Sam and Diane, or Pam and Jim, whatever generation you are, you know these couples. Or Batman and Robin, or Han Solo and Chewbacca, they just go together. Grace and peace. Now think about all the other options that he could have said. He could have said grace and popularity, right? Because some of us really love popularity, right? You know, he could have said grace and power. He could have said grace and riches. He could have said grace and influence to get what we want. But he didn't. What he said was, grace and peace be with you. And as we encounter a life with Jesus, a life in full color, I think deep down what we really, really, really are after. What we're after is peace, real peace. A divine peace that only God can give. Because I know, I know, like, if you don't know this or not, but you can have money in the bank, right? You can have money in the bank, but you may not have peace in your heart. You can be incredibly successful on the outside, but be completely empty on the inside, right? You can be married, but not have peace in your home. Now, thank goodness nobody said amen to that, because that would lead to less peace later on. So that's good. But if you were nodding and they caught you out of the corner of their eye, there might be trouble coming. What a lot of people want, and many people don't even know, is that they want peace that only comes from God. But what so many of us have is not peace. We actually have the opposite. We have tension. We're afraid. We're anxious. It creates chaos. When you think about your relationships with your family and friends, what do you want? You want peace. You want understanding, don't you? You want harmony. But so often we have the opposite. We have misunderstandings. We have confusion. We have disagreements. We have hurt feelings. We have bitterness. We have unforgiveness. And church, let's get real. What so many people really want and really need is a peace in a life with full color following Jesus. And so we're going to jump right into a section of scripture today from the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. In a season much like today, you know, fear and unsettledness is running rampant through the world. The prophet Isaiah prophesied of a day of uninhibited worship, filled with peace and passion and praise for the goodness of God. And so if you've got your Bibles, you can go to Isaiah 26, or you can pull it up on YouVersion. We'll have it on the screen too, so you can follow along. But Isaiah 26, verse 1 is where we'll start. And it says this: in that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. Our city is strong. You didn't think I was going to sing. Come on. Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. You will keep in perfect, what's that word? Peace. Yes, all who trust in you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Ooh. He said in that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing that song. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. And then in verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace. You will keep in that perfect peace. All who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you, you will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in the Lord. All those whose thoughts are fixed on Him. And He says, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is our eternal rock. And I love this promise. I want this promise. And I don't think I'm alone in here in saying this. I need this promise in my life. Because you will be kept in perfect peace. Sign me up. The peace of God that comes from heaven. Yes, please. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm very familiar with imperfect peace or inconsistent peace. Can anybody else relate to this? You know, I have peace in the moment, and even pray a prayer to God and say, God, Thank you for being here for me. Thank you for everything you do in my life. Thank you for your faithfulness. And then I hand that burden off to God. Please take it from me. And find that 3 minutes later, I'm like, God, why didn't you do something yet? Come on, help me out. I was very clear in what I needed. Where are you? And I could have a moment of just joy and experience the presence of God and the Holy Spirit being here. And suddenly, it's gone moments later. And it's filled with a sense of anxiety and dread and fear and personal insecurity. I'm way too familiar with inconsistent peace or imperfect peace. And yet God promises something called perfect peace. So what is this perfect peace? Where do we get this? The word peace in the Old Testament comes from a really rich Hebrew word, okay? And it was actually a Jewish word called, shalom. You're familiar with this, right? Shalom. And this word means way more than just peace. It means wholeness, completeness. It's the fullness of peace. It's peace in every way. In other words, there's never this internal sense of fear or dread of where do I stand with God, because it's complete and perfect peace. It's peace with God. There's not a question of, have I done enough? Have I done too much? What should I do? Have I gone too far? Is my shame too great? It's peace with God. It's peace with other people in your life. And never a worry of where we stand or why we are bitter with each other. It's just peace with yourself. Because that dark spot in your past that you're so ashamed of, the thing that you did that wakes you up in the middle of the night every single night and says, oh my gosh, 7 years ago I did that? Yeah, I do that too. It's peace with yourself, saying I'm okay, I'm good with God, and that carries me. It's peace with your circumstances, even when your circumstances aren't what you had planned them out to be. It's shalom. It's complete, whole peace with God. The original Hebrew text in Isaiah actually says this: you will be kept in shalom, shalom. Ooh. Two shaloms. The word shalom appears twice. In the Hebrew language, this is to tell us there's a specific emphasis on this word. So when you think of shalom, shalom, it's very emphasized. It's saying you get a double portion of peace. In other words, God says, okay, I will give you your portion of peace, but you know what? I'll also give you even more, an abundant amount of peace if you follow me. And it's perfect peace. It's a peace that goes beyond our human ability to understand. But peace does not mean that you won't have trouble. It doesn't mean that things are going to go perfect. In fact, Jesus was really, really clear. Jesus said in John chapter 16, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. No, I wanted that peace. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Following Jesus doesn't mean you won't have problems. It doesn't mean that there's never going to be things that are unbroken, because we live in a broken world, right? It doesn't mean your kids are never going to fight in the car, on the way to church. Maybe that happened today. It doesn't mean your spouse isn't going to get on your nerves. It doesn't mean that you won't ever get on your spouse's nerves. I know one thing that I don't get right around the house, okay, is laundry. I mean, that's something that I know it gets on Amanda's nerves. I don't get the laundry done. You put me in a kitchen, I will do the dishes. I know it. Dishes make sense to me. There's no folding dishes, okay? Right? Like a fitted sheet. Nobody is like, here's a really complicated bowl that was invented just to bring you pain and suffering for all your life. Good luck, James. No, kitchen makes sense to me. Everything has a place and we know where it goes. But if you put me in laundry, I'm like, okay, I'll hang them up and fold them. Now I'm just going to put them in places. I don't even know where this goes. And I know Amanda comes in and looks at it and she goes, come on, man. It's 15 years. How do you not get this yet? And I'm like, oh, but I love you, you know? And she finally realizes, I think she's like, oh, you know what? At least he washed them, right? And then he got them washed, and then he got them to the dryer within that grace period of not smelling. What, 48 hours, right? Yeah? No, okay. And he did fold them, and they're dry, and he put them on hangers, and that all matters, and at least they aren't all over the bed, and so that the dog can jump on them and just, like, lay on them, right? And that's exactly what I think. Of course, I don't say anything, because I'm like, all right, I don't want to say anything, and she's not going to say much, because we just want peace. Well, peace doesn't mean you're not going to have difficult times. So what is shalom shalom? That perfect peace of God. Peace isn't found in the absence of problems. That's something that we know. But peace is found in the presence of God. It's shalom shalom, perfect peace in God's presence. It's God's perspective. It's God's assurance for our lives, even when life is anything but what you want it to be. And here's the thing. I know some of you right now are pushing back, and you're like, are you kidding me? I've got, my health is failing, or my loved one's health is failing, and I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. And you're saying, where's the peace in that? Or you're saying, you know what? I've got real financial issues. I mean, like, the bills are stacked sky high on my dining room table, and I don't know what to do. They're calling every day. Where's the peace in that? Or maybe you've got a child who's just struggling, and you don't know what you're going to do or where you're going to turn, and you're asking, where's the peace in that? Maybe you've got pornography running around in your marriage, and you don't know how to address that with each other. Where's the peace in that? How do you experience the shalom, shalom of God? First, we should understand that the battle for peace begins in our minds. It's in our minds that the enemy will try to attack. Now, you don't have to raise your hands, but if I ask you to raise your hands, if it felt like there was a battle going on in your mind fighting for peace day after day, I bet you I'd see a lot of hands today. Yeah, I have that struggle too. It's part of my life. And I can know the truth of God, but then my mind just starts wandering around into all sorts of untruths. In fact, I can believe wholeheartedly and sit here and preach the truth and the promises that you have in your life that God has for you, but I doubt them when it comes to me. Because there's a war going on in my mind between what God says and what my mind drifts into believing as untrue. That battle for peace begins in your minds. And that's why I want to show you two different versions of this verse in Isaiah 26:3. Let's look at the New Living Translation. That's what we looked at earlier. It's translated this way. You will keep in perfect peace. All those thoughts are fixed on you, God. They're fixed on the truth of God. They're focused on God. They're fixed on God. And then the NIV says this, you will keep in perfect peace to those whose minds are steadfast. I love steadfast. That is like my word this year, because I think we need this. Notice Isaiah doesn't say you'll have perfect peace when you flip on the channel and you make sure you're on CNN or Fox News. You'll have perfect peace then. You know, all of us, both my conservative friends and my liberal friends, right? It doesn't say you're going to have perfect peace when your mind is fixed on the future, on what might happen, what will happen, or what won't happen. It doesn't say you're going to have perfect peace whenever your mind is fixed on financial problems that you're trying to work out of. It doesn't say you're going to have perfect peace when your mind is focused on the bad news from your doctor or the results from a test. No, you'll have perfect peace when your mind is fixed and focused on the truth of God. In fact, the Hebrew word that's translated as fixed, and I know that there are some guys from my frontline men's group right now, and they love hearing me translate words, so this is going to be enjoyable. But and it's not that bad. It's not Sanballat, okay? So it's not that bad. It's, the word is this, Samak. Samak. I think I've got that right. And this word means to lean on completely. It means to fully rest oneself. So it's take a load off. Kick your feet up. Sounds nice, right? I want that peace. You could literally translate this verse as this. You will have perfect peace when you lean completely on, when your mind is resting on God's promises. This is perfect peace. Perfect peace is when your thoughts are resting on God's unfailing promises. My question for you is this. What is your mind resting on today? What is your mind resting on today? What's your mind been resting on thinking about since you opened your eyes this morning? Are you thinking about how much moisture we're going to get this week, and hopefully we won't have fires this summer? I mean, this is stuff that goes through my mind. Are you focused on not freaking out on your spouse or your kids or your parents today? Maybe you're like me and you're thinking about that chicken strip melt over at Perkins. Sounds mighty nice today after church. Or a breakfast burrito at Farmhouse. Or you can choose the chimichanga at Guadalajara's. All are good options, I'm just saying. Need I say more? Well, now I'm hungry. Okay, or a shopping list at Walmart or Safeway or Looters. What's our mind on? A trip to Rapid? Is that what we've got planned? The wind? How about throughout the week, not on Sunday? Where does your mind drift to? Whenever you have idle time, where does your mind drift to? What do you focus on? Some of you might say, financial worries consume my mind. It may be feeling like a sense of loneliness. Some may say political division consumes your thinking, or it might be COVID fears that lives rent-free in your mind. I love that term. Sometimes I ask myself, what am I allowing to live rent-free in my mind? Because I got to start charging. I got to start getting that thing out. You ever ask that? Maybe your mind is consumed with what's going wrong in the world right now, or what could go wrong in the world right now, or what you don't like, or what you dread, or that annoying person on social media. And I just have to tell you, just hit unfollow in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Just say, no, I'm going to unfollow that. Amen. Look back at what Isaiah was saying. Everyone was singing. I love this. He said, everyone was singing. Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation because it's stronger than anything. That salvation saves us and protects us. When our minds start drifting and getting consumed, all the stuff on the outside, what protects us? It's that salvation in Jesus. If I believe revival for our world, our nation, our community, my family, my marriage, if revival is going to happen, it starts with us embracing our salvation and living it out first, church. And the Apostle Paul wrote this for a struggling church, a struggling world, drifting away from this perfect peace that God was offering in Philippians. And this is what it says in chapter 4. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. I think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Fix your thoughts not on what is sus, not on what is false, not on what is fake or uncertain or fear, not what gives you anxiety or the bad news of this world. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. So what do you do? Then think about those things that are excellent and worthy in praise. And then your mind is fixed on God. When your mind is fixed on what's true, when your mind is fixed on what's admirable and worthy of praise, then the God of what? The God of peace will be with you. And so when is the God of peace with us? When our minds are fixed on him. So what do I tell myself? My God is good. My God is so good, and he is always good. We just sang about that, church. There's nothing gooder than my God. Ooh, English teachers, I know, I'm sorry. My grandma's rolling around right now in the grave. Listen, during Holy Week, I have to share this story with you. During Holy Week, last week, prepping for Easter, crazy week. We had the Easter egg hunt. We had the Easter jam for the whole family upstairs. It was awesome. And about Wednesday, we were prepping for a Good Friday service. And we had this conversation in the office, and it was a great conversation. Somebody was saying, why do we call it Good Friday? Why is it good? It doesn't seem good for Jesus. Like, Jesus went to the cross, he died a horrible death, was tortured. Does that sound good to anybody? It should be like Dark Friday, or it should be Violent Friday. And then the next morning I got up and I was talking with Amanda, and she brought up the exact same conversation. Like, she was in the room. She wasn't in that conversation. That's how you know God's happening here. And I love these conversations. So we started talking, and Amanda said this. She said, it is such a Good Friday because it's the ultimateness of God's goodness. It's the most extreme example of how good God is. It's the concentrate of God's goodness. It's the concentrate of the good. It's the strongest percentage of good that we can experience being followers of Jesus. And his promises are true. His word never, ever fails. And when my mind is fixed on him, he offers me shalom, shalom. On a busy week like Easter planning week, oh man, that is shalom, shalom, to have that conversation and remember and pray and thank God for what he did on the cross. It's the perfect peace of God that the world will not understand, because it's not something that the world can find. And this is what Jesus said in John, peace I leave with you. And then he says something I don't want you to miss. He says, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus says, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives. He's not just giving you peace the way the world looks at it. He's giving you his peace. And peace is not found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of God. So how do I get this peace? Where do I find this shalom, shalom? It starts with pouring into a relationship with Jesus, being more intentional with that through God's word. I do this with my Bible. I have a study Bible that I absolutely love. It's full of maps and meanings of things and context. And then there are Bibles that you can find with commentary for men, women, teens, everybody, young adults. There's a Bible with commentary for anybody. And you can also check out YouVersion, the Bible app, and it's got great resources when it comes to devotions and unlocking God's word with reading plans and all kinds of different ways of reading it. And it's not easy. You know, as the day goes on, I tend to fall into this negative trap, right? I might be the only one, so like, bear with me, but I sometimes wake up and I'm like, this is going to be kind of a hard day. This day is going to stink. You know, or oh my gosh, this is so difficult, I'm not going to be able to get through this. Or I have to do this again. Oh. But what I do is I capture those thoughts and replace them. Scripture says, capture your thoughts. Capture your thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. That's what Scripture says, and so that's what I do. I capture those thoughts and I replace them. I can get up and face that hard day because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, this is going to be difficult, but God, you are my rock and my fortress, and your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. I don't have to do this again. I get to do this again as I press on to reach the end of this race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Then at the end of the day, one of the things that I do is I'll do one of two things. More often, it's the second thing that I'll bring up. But I'll text or I'll call somebody close to me, a brother in Christ, and I'll want to hear about their day, but I'll also need to talk about mine, about struggles, about things that I want to rejoice in, because God is awesome, and I need somebody to bring that out in that conversation and remind me, and then pray for me and pray with me. And that's a great opportunity. And then the other thing that I do is I just sit down at the end of the day, and I just I just jot down all the things that happen that I can give thanks for, I can learn more about from the day, I can pour into and pour over to God and say, God, help me understand this. And some may call that a journal, but I don't do it consistent enough. Life is chaotic and challenging and painful and disappointing. But my God, I'm so grateful for this. My God is not any of those things. So I turn to Him for the renewing of my mind, because He is our perfect peace. It's the goodness of God. It's the perfect peace. So if you're going through a loss, a hurt, a pain, a fear, I pray that these words from Philippians 4 would minister to your heart. The Apostle Paul, being led to write from a Roman prison where he's awaiting execution. That's what's happening right now as he's writing these words, I'm going to say. He's awaiting execution. It doesn't get any darker than that. You know you're going to die. And this is what he writes. He says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, he says, do not be anxious about anything. So whatever it is that's weighing you down, whatever it is that's gripping your heart, don't be anxious about that. And then he says, but in every situation, so when the doctor's news is good and when the doctor's news is not so good, when the financial troubles are there or when you're riding high and things are just comfortable and perfect, right? Or when your marriage is going great and everybody's lovey-dovey, things are awesome. Or when the marriage is feeling like it's going to fall apart. That's every situation. And then he says this, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. That's real praise. That's what he's calling us for. Real praise. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's the peace of God. Did you see that? It's the peace of God. It's not the peace of this world. It's not the peace of having money in the bank. It's not the peace of when everything's going great just the way you want it. It's the peace of God. In other words, the world can't give it. And the world can't take it away. Because this peace is not something from this world. This is a peace that can only come from God. Peace isn't the absence of heartache. It's not the absence of loss. It's not void of disappointment. No, it's the experience of a life in full color. It is the presence of God. So whatever you're going through right now, you can cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. He is with you right now. And He'll be with you always. He is a gift. That's why we say peace on earth at Christmas time. He's a gift. Peace be with you. Go in peace. Grace and peace for you. It's a peace from heaven and it's available for you. Shalom, shalom. And may God's peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts, your minds, and your souls. Pray with me, if you will. Father, we come to you and we ask for that peace from heaven, that perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. And those who need it in some area of our lives, we need His peace, right? I need His peace. Father, I pray for my church family that they would experience from you what only comes from you, peace in the middle of fear, in the middle of doubt, in the middle of anxiety, uncertainty, loss, sickness. Father, you are good, and we trust in you. We thank you, God. We thank you that even though Jesus said in this world we'll have trouble, we can rejoice and take heart because you have overcome this world. And this world is not all we have. We know with you in heaven, one day there will be no more crying, no more tears, No more brokenness, no more pain, no more sickness. Shalom, shalom, the peace of God. Now, God, may your peace guard our hearts and our minds, and may we experience your goodness now, even as we pray. And as we keep praying, I'm going to ask, where do you stand with God? Are you at peace? You might say, I'm not sure. Or maybe not. And this is 100%, this is totally my story from years ago, not too long ago, but God, by grace and grace alone, we realize Jesus is the Son of God who never sinned. He's perfect in every way. He was the innocent, perfect, sinless sacrifice who gave his life on a cross. He died in our place for our sins, and God raised him from the dead. And we know that following Jesus is not a religion, it's a relationship from a loving God who loves us. So if you know that to be true, but never accepted this grace, this relationship, you can pray with me right now. And it's this simple. You say, right now, say, Lord, I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. And I'm giving my life to you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, forgive all my sins. Jesus, save me. Make me a new creation. Fill me with your Spirit so I can follow you. My life, this isn't my own. I give it all to you. Thank you for your peace. Help me to share that peace and that love with other people. Thank you for making me a new creation on this day through Jesus. And for all of us here and online, Lord, I pray for strength and complete and utter focus on you as we go about our week ahead. Help us focus on your word and your truth, Father, and bless our days. We love you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen.